An animated book opens and a city block rises from its blank pages. A low view moves down a main street, settling outside a movie theater. Illuminated by blinking lights, the marquee reads, Amazon Studios. Out of darkness, blotches of color appear.
You are never more alive than when you're a teenager. Your brain is flush with chemicals that can turn your life into a story of epic proportions. An A-minus feels like the Pulitzer. A lonely Saturday night is an eternity of solitude. And your lab partner becomes the great love of your life. And yet, by the start of my senior year, nothing interesting or remarkable had ever happened to me. I was grateful for my life. I had my best friends. All two of them.
Relax, you got this.
Parents who met and fell in love when they were my age. And my writing. Writing has always been my passion, which is why I was gunning to be editor-in-chief of the school newspaper. I wanted a platform to express who I was and how I viewed the world. But a platform was pointless unless I actually had something to say. And I didn't. Because nothing worth writing about had ever happened to me.
The brown-haired teen shuts his laptop.
Then, on the day I found out about the job, something finally happened.
A title appears, Chemical Hearts. Daytime, the brown-haired teen enters a school office and sits beside a blonde girl in a hooded sweatshirt who reads a book. The boy glances at the page. A title reads, Love Sonnet 17 by Pablo Neruda. Highlighted lines read, I love you as certain dark things are to be loved, in secret, between the shadow and the soul. The blonde catches the boy's eye as a man steps out and beckons to them.
Hi, guys. Thanks for swinging by. Come on in.
You want us both?
Yes, both of you'd be great. Come on.
The girl uses a cane to stand.
Grace just transferred here from East River, where she spent 2 years writing for the Gazette. You both possess remarkable depth for writers your age. Which is why I think that you two will make a truly dynamic editor-in-chief duo.
No.
What? One more time?
I don't want to be an editor, but thank you.
Grace leaves and the boy follows her outside.
Hey, why'd you say no?
What?
Why'd you say no?
Why do you care?
What?
Why do you care?
I don't. It's just a good opportunity for a writer, I guess. I just don't get why you would say no.
All right, well, don't want to keep you up at night.
In the distance, the boy spots a school bus driving away.
What?
I just missed my bus.
Grace lifts her cane.
Can't walk.
No, I mean, I can. It's far. Fly, take the bus.
In a neighborhood, the brown-haired teen strolls along a sidewalk. Grace walks on the other side of the street. The boy glances at her as they go.
My house is up there. I have a car. I can give you a ride if you want.
Yeah. Thanks.
They meet in the middle of the street and continue walking.
Is he like Neruda?
Neruda.
Oh. Yeah, well, I mean, I only read a stanza, but I thought it was really beautiful.
You think so?
Yeah, do you not?
No, I just think that's what people say when they read a poem that they don't understand.
Grace stops walking and takes her backpack off her shoulder. She removes a weathered book called 100 Love Sonnets and hands it to the boy.
Finish it. And let me know if you still feel the same way.
She slings her backpack on her shoulder and continues walking. Later, the pair arrives at a modest house with two cars in the driveway.
Yeah, it's a cool place. How come you walk to school if you have a car?
I don't like driving. Do you have a license?
Yeah.
She tosses keys to him. He drives with Grace in the passenger seat.
It's a good song.
She gazes out the window with a wistful expression. The boy stops outside a stately house. Collecting her backpack and cane, Grace gets out of the car and scrutinizes the home.
You live in a house like this, but you don't have a car?
I guess my grades aren't good enough for a car, so...
He returns the keys.
Thanks a lot.
Grace walks down the street. Furrowing his brow, the boy glances between her and the car.
Well, I'll see you tomorrow.
She looks back as she goes.
Okay.
In the house, the boy approaches a woman wearing scrubs.
Henry.
What's up, suds? You, get back or something?
No, I'm just leaving.
I'm late.
So, who's the girl?
What girl?
The one that drove Henry home.
A girl drove you home?
She left her car here and walked away. Run.
Yeah. When are you gonna move back out again?
Ignore her. She's declared war on love.
No, just on cheating assholes.
Do you see him today?
Oh, my God. He's my attending mom. I'll see him several times today.
So, how was the first day back?
Good. It's good.
Did you get it?
Henry nods to his family. Suds gives him a high five and his mom hugs him.
Congratulations, sweetie.
Nice work.
Okay, gotta go. Love you guys.
So, who's the girl?
At his computer, Henry searches the name Grace on social media and scans the results. A profile bearing Grace's photo lists her full name as Grace Town and her location as East River, New Jersey. Henry opens the profile and a message reads, "Photos are private." He types Grace's full name and location into a search engine and finds multiple photos of her smiling.
I do not love you as if you were the salt rose, topaz, or arrow of carnations that propagate fire. I love you as certain dark things are to be loved, in secret, between the shadow and the soul. Shadow and the soul. I love you like the plant that does not bloom, but carries within itself hidden light of those flowers. Thanks to your love lives darkly in my body. A certain solid fragrance that has risen from the earth. I love you without knowing how, or when, or from where. I love you straightforwardly, without complexities or pride, in which there is no you nor I, so close that your hand upon my chest is mine. So close that your hand upon my chest is mine.
Reading the book, Henry falls back on his bed.
So close that your eyes close as I dream.
At school.
I have no idea what you said, but it worked.
What?
I think the newspaper's gonna be a really good thing for her.
Later, in a classroom.
We will have four issues. The first in November, the last in June. The first three are garden variety periodicals. Hard-hitting news, sports, features, the like. But the last one, that's where we get creative. With the help of the group, Henry will choose a theme, and you will have carte blanche to explore that theme as you see fit. That last issue will be this team's legacy, an opportunity to share your crude wisdom with the students behind you. Now, I'm not just talking about the 4 years that you've spent within the walls of this building. I am talking bigger than that. I am talking about the totality of your 17 years on this planet. Last but not least, Grace here joins us from our neighboring school, East River Preparatory, and will lend Henry a helping hand with all things. Now, here's what Kyle and his team did for last year's final issue.
I'm sorry. Kyle sucks.
Very constructive laugh.
Well, okay. The final issue last year did kind of suck.
Henry wheels his chair to a desk beside Grace.
All right.
They both work at their laptops.
Hey, so I don't know what
So I'm not writing. If you have something to say, you can just say it yourself, and I'll help with, like, editing and design.
I handle design.
Henry smiles at Law.
well, everything other than design then, but just not writing. And I'm assistant editor, because apparently you worked very hard for this, so it should be all yours.
Later, outside the school.
Looks like Cora's into you again.
Yo, what is the deal with her? She's like making eyes at me, laughing at all my jokes, and it's like this air pocket that's like connecting us, and it's just filled with like marshmallows, gummy bears, and
Grace walks in front of Henry and his friends.
Bubble gum and sparklies, and it's just like if I eat it, I'm gonna get another cavity like last year, and I can't.
Henry lags behind, then jogs after Grace.
Hey, Grace.
Tankard.
I.
This is our boss.
Tankard.
I actually didn't get a chance to tell you. I finished that poem. And, yeah. I mean, I still think it's beautiful, but not in the normal kind of bullshit way. Which I think is also kind of what the poem's about, because, you know, Neruda's love for her doesn't come from, like, sunshine and roses and cliche stuff. You know, it comes from her flaws and her perfections, like darker places.
Hey, sir! Yeah,
comes from.
Come on, you flirt!
I guess who she has the potential to be, and not just who she is.
Pausing, Grace stares at Henry.
So, I don't know. So beautiful in that kind of way.
The school bus drives off.
You're gonna miss your bus again.
Law points at him through a window.
I see you!
What's he doing?
I think I could get another ride.
Sure.
Later, Henry drives Grace's car. Sitting in the passenger seat, she catches him glancing at her. He parks outside his house and they get out.
Thanks for letting me drive myself home again.
Grace takes the keys and walks down the street. In his room, Henry writes in a journal.
Where do you go to? Why do you go? What are your colors? What are your moods? To see you, I turn. To know you, I burn.
He looks out the window and spots a car at the curb. A balding man gets out of the passenger seat. He gets into Grace's car and both vehicles drive away. Henry watches them go. At night, Henry types a message. Hey, just wondering who picked up your car. He erases the message and turns over in bed. At school, Cora talks on her phone near Henry and Law.
Dame como 5 minutos. Okay. Hi.
Oh my God, it kills me when she speaks Spanish.
Don't you want to say what's up?
So she can ghost me again?
I mean...
See you guys.
See you.
Cora leaves.
Bye.
Law wears a frustrated look.
Fuck. Meh.
She walks away. Henry goes to Grace, who works at a nearby table as she listens to earbuds.
What was that little... meh, meh thing?
I guess annoyed, we just do that. I don't know. Do you think you'd give me a ride today, maybe?
Outside Henry's house, they get out of the car and Henry hands over the keys.
Hey, do you want to, like, come in and hang out?
I can't today.
Okay. I'll see you tomorrow then.
Okay.
Grace heads down the street. Henry walks toward his house.
Henry?
He looks back.
Meet me here at 6.
Okay. Yeah, I'll meet you there at 6.
Yeah. Bring a loaf of bread.
She walks away. Henry watches her with a curious look. Through his bedroom window, he watches the balding man get into Grace's car and drive away. Later, Henry and Grace walk down the street.
Hey, what happened to your car?
It's back at my house.
So did you drive it back and then you walked
here?
We
don't need it.
At dusk, they walk through the woods. Henry carries a loaf of bread. Using her cane, Grace carefully steps over a log and leads Henry down a forest path. They pass a tree with ribbons wrapped around its trunk. Deeper in the forest, the pair arrives at a rusted chain-link fence overgrown with vegetation. Grace pushes on the locked gate and ducks under the chain to go through. Henry follows her to an industrial building with lights glowing in the windows. Inside, Grace walks down a long corridor, but Henry lags behind. Grace glances back.
Come on.
Gripping the loaf of bread, Henry follows her down the corridor.
It was a cotton mill in the 1800s, and then they made plastic bottles until it shut down in 1989, I think.
They continue down the dark corridor toward an open space beyond. As they walk, they glance out windows with murky glass. Deeper into the mill, the teens descend a metal staircase.
You have to be quiet.
They carefully descend to a dark room with slats over the windows. Grace takes off her shoes and Henry does the same. She removes her coat and takes the loaf of bread. Leaning on her cane, she approaches a pool of water. She takes a slice of bread from the bag. She tosses pieces of bread in the water and koi rise to the surface.
Whoa.
Shh. You'll scare them away.
She tosses more bread into the pool.
Come here.
Henry takes Grace's hand and she steps into the water. He follows her in and they both stand knee-deep in the pool. Grace gives Henry a piece of bread. He moves close to her side and glances at her. She meets his gaze. Henry drops the bread into the water as the fish swim around them. Light from the slatted windows reflects in the rippling pool. Later, Henry sits on the edge as Grace paces nearby.
Have you ever had a girlfriend?
Not really.
Why not? You ever had a boyfriend?
No.
So what's the deal?
I don't know. I don't know, I'm not really good at this stuff.
Well, I thought you were a writer.
I could probably go home right now and write you something about why I've never had a girlfriend, like an essay or whatever.
Oh, so you just have to edit everything?
No, I mean, it's not editing, it's just writing, I think, sometimes helps me understand myself, I guess, because I don't know, a lot of times I don't really know how I feel about something until I really sit down and think about it. But, I mean, you haven't shared much either.
Grace drops her cane and steps into the water.
I did some of my physical therapy in a pool. 9 months ago, the car swerved coming around a bend and hit the rock barrier and the car flipped. Not that it really even matters.
She gazes through a skylight at the stars overhead.
When I look at that, it reminds me that people are just the ashes of dead stars.
We're just a collection of atoms that come together for a brief period of time and then we fall apart. When all of this is over and we're dispersed back into nothingness, we have a clean slate. It's like having all of your sins wiped away.
Sure you don't want to write for the paper? What sins do you need wiped away?
Without looking at Henry, Grace turns around and walks to the edge of the pool. She picks up her cane and climbs out of the water. Henry follows her to a wall. Words scratched into the concrete read, Serva me serva bote.
I used to be a vandal.
You did this?
When I was 14.
What is that, like Latin? What's it mean?
I'm tired. I'm gonna head home.
She puts on her coat.
Do you want me to...
Can you find your way back?
Yeah. Are you all right?
Yeah, fine. Thanks for hanging out.
Yeah, sure, any time.
She climbs the stairs. At home, Henry puts a vase in a bag. Outside, he smashes it on the street. In his room, he dumps the broken shards on the floor. Using gold adhesive, he brushes over the cracks. Suds opens his bedroom door.
Why are you still up?
Just working on this.
She crouches in front of him on the floor.
Is that the one Mom and Dad got you on your birthday?
Mm-hmm. Still dry.
Touchy, touchy, Henry.
She looks around the room. Repaired vases with gold streaks sit on the shelves.
It is an odd hobby for a 17-year-old boy.
She stands and examines the vases.
You know that heartbreak triggers the same areas of the brain as physical pain.
She faces Henry with a somber expression.
When I think about him leaving me, my brain sends a distress signal to my nervous system, and it elevates my blood pressure and my heart rate, giving me chest pains.
Okay.
Rubbing her chest, she sits in his desk chair.
It's happening right now.
You want me to go get Mom?
Oh, God, no, please. Jesus. Ugh.
Henry goes to his sister and lays his hand on her back. She covers her face. At school, Henry stares at Grace in the newspaper room as the staff meets. She wears an oversized hoodie with her blonde hair up.
Henry. What's next?
Yeah, I was thinking we all could kind of just put out a few ideas of, like, themes for the final issue.
No time like the present.
How about a trippy Alice in Wonderland theme? You know, like, we all dropped acid and went down the rabbit hole?
Now that's tight. I could work with that.
Grace.
What?
Any ideas?
I don't know.
None?
Yeah, that's what I don't know means.
Can I go to the bathroom? I have to pee.
Of course.
On the school bus, Henry sits with Law and their tall friend.
Just ask her what's going on.
No, I don't know. I feel like I don't know her like that yet. I don't know.
You should follow her. Don't you want to see where she goes? Oh. What if she's hanging out with her boyfriend?
Law stifles a laugh. Henry grins and shakes his head.
Oh, no. I'm not gonna stalk her.
In the neighborhood, Grace walks down the street alone. Henry watches her from a distance. In the woods, Grace walks across the moss-covered ground and past the tree wrapped with ribbons. In another part of the woods, she passes gravestones. She picks yellow flowers from a bush, then continues walking. Henry follows her from a distance. Grace walks along a row of graves. She sits before a small headstone with yellow flowers at its base. She lays the new flowers among the others. Henry watches from behind a grave. Grace talks to the headstone. A view through the trees shows the starry sky. Later, Henry shines a flashlight on the headstone. The plaque reads, Dominic Henry Sawyer, 2001 to 2018. To live in hearts we leave behind is not to die. He sits on the ground and searches the name on his phone along with the phrase, East River car accident. A headline reads, Teenager identified as victim in fatal interstate accident. A photo shows a teenage boy in a football uniform. Parts of the article read, Dominic Sawyer lost control of his car and hit a rock barrier. According to state police, his passenger was severely injured. A three-star quarterback prospect with pro potential, Sawyer's coach remembered him as one of the smartest, kindest, and most talented student athletes I've ever come across. Henry pulls up Dominic's social media page and finds photos of the teen hugging and kissing Grace. Daytime. In the newspaper room, Henry and Grace sit together.
Would you be down to talk over maybe some theme ideas or something?
Whatever you pick is fine.
She opens her laptop.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Should we just, like, I just run my final selection?
I mean, it really doesn't matter to me. I just got a new feature in from Jade, so I was just gonna edit that.
She puts in her earbuds. At home, Henry's tall friend, Muzz, sends him a text. It reads, Elk saw Grace at the track right now doing some hella weird shit. Better go now, bro. Henry goes downstairs where his parents play dominoes.
I'd like to match those, but instead I will match this.
Hey, Dad, can I use the car?
Sure. Where to?
I don't know. Nowhere, really.
So, where are you going? It's not a cross-examination.
I mean, it feels like that.
Well, you're asking us to lend you our car, and we're asking a simple question in return.
Okay, I'm just gonna go to Muzz's now. Can I have the keys? You're not even using it.
You know, you're entitled to your privacy. If you don't want us to know something, say so. But don't insult us with a lie. It's beneath you. You can Uber.
What? I can't Uber. I don't have a credit card.
Well, then you're gonna have to walk.
Henry runs through the neighborhood at night. At the school's football field, Henry sneaks behind the bleachers and gazes toward the track. Grace struggles along the track without her cane. She limps in the opposite direction, then turns and bends down. She drags her left leg behind her as she tries to run. Stopping, she returns to her original position. She tries to run again, but falls down. She bangs her left leg with her cane. She throws her cane aside and buries her face in her hands, then lies on her back. Later, Henry tosses in bed. He sits up and types a text message. Hey, it's Henry. You okay? You seemed kinda out of it today. A reply reads, I'm okay now, thanks. Another message reads, meet me in the library after newspaper tomorrow. I have an idea. Henry responds, see you there, with a smiley face. He lies back in bed. Daytime. In the school library, Henry finds Grace with several books in hand.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
So, I couldn't sleep last night, so I was searching through Mrs. Klein's syllabus, and I noticed a very interesting trend.
She hands the books to Henry. He gives her a puzzled look.
Look at them.
Okay.
Among them, he finds The Sorrows of Young Werther and Romeo and Juliet.
They're, all about young people.
And they all involve suicide. Romeo and Juliet off themselves. Werther shoots himself. Holden contemplates suicide. Conrad tries to kill himself by slashing his wrists.
This is what you were up thinking about last night?
Yeah.
Was that normal?
Oh, Jesus.
What?
He follows her to a table.
It's like seeing down this week, so that's a little scary, okay. I guess.
He sets the books down and takes a seat.
How do I explain this? Okay, think about what it means to be a teenager, okay? Your parents pressure you to succeed. Your friends pressure you to do shit you don't want to do. Social media pressures you to hate your body. It's hard, even if you're a well-adjusted kid from a good family.
Okay.
So now imagine you can't be with the person that you love, like Romeo and Juliet or Werther, or you lose the person that you love, like Holden or Conrad. There is a reason why when every author from Shakespeare to Salinger writes about young people, they can't avoid the truth that being young is so painful. It's almost too much to feel.
I mean, are you, like, suicidal?
Oh, God, I mean, look, I'm not gonna kill myself, but have I thought about what it would be like to just not be here anymore? Yeah. And I don't say that casually, but I do say it because hiding that shit and not saying it makes it worse. It should be talked about. All of our shit should be talked about. The teenage years are limbo. You're somewhere between being a kid and an adult, and the world, it tells you to be mature and express yourself, but the minute that you do, it tells you to shut up. The thing is, adults are just scarred kids who were lucky enough to make it out of limbo alive. Which is why,
she sits.
The theme of our last issue should be teenage limbo.
Wearing an intrigued look, Henry smiles. At a newspaper meeting.
Henry's sister's studying to become a neurosurgeon, and she explains that the teenage brain goes through an upgrade before it matures to an adult brain. So the upgrade is like an explosion of connections and synapses as we figure out what's right or wrong, what we like, what we don't like, you know, who we want to be. Each page of the issue is the brain refining itself, figuring itself out until eventually it's out of limbo.
So dope.
They view images of neurons.
All right, sweet. So I think we could kind of just start a kind of a discussion, like what are we confused about? What maybe scares us? Like, are there things maybe you keep inside that you're afraid to?
Grace looks at Henry.
Do you have something?
Yeah, I mean, I do, but I was gonna... I think I was gonna write it.
The group stares.
When Mike Johnson killed himself a couple of years ago, I realized that I still had this Hustler magazine that he gave me when we were like 13 that he stole from his dad's collection. And I don't know, I feel really stupid admitting this, but kind of freaked me out. Like I couldn't really sleep at night with this magazine in my drawer. Like it was just kind of like haunted or something. And basically it just was kind of too important to throw away, but it was also too weird to keep. So I went to the tree by the art park, one where he hung himself, and I just buried it there. And I don't know, yeah, it was weird, because kind of for the first time I was old enough to understand the gravity of death, but I was also, you know, young enough that it all came down to just a stupid, like, porn magazine.
Later, Henry and Grace stroll down a sidewalk together.
I'm proud of you for sharing that. It must have been hard for you.
Thanks. Hey, why'd you give up writing? You've obviously got, like, a lot of ideas.
Somebody really important to me died. And I was asked to write something, to say something, like a eulogy, because everyone knew that I was the writer and, you know, told me how beautiful my words were, but nothing came. I just couldn't find the words. Mm-hmm. What?
Oh no, it's just funny. Cause you know I can't find the words when I talk and you can't find the words when you write. That just made me laugh. I don't know. You know what I mean?
In the newspaper room, Harry prepares a mug of tea and gives it to Grace.
She
hides
away.
You want to see a movie this weekend?
I don't think I can.
You out of the plans?
No, I just have a ton of stuff to do.
At the football field, they lean against a fence.
So you used to run track?
Yeah, I was a sprinter.
And what else did you do in your previous life?
Oh, God. Lit magazine, yearbook staff, student government, beer pong champion.
She lies with her head in his lap.
First football game is Friday night if you want to go. Well, not that I care, but it's fun. We usually pregame and everyone goes.
That sounds fun, but I can't. Another time, though.
At school, Henry flirts with Grace in the hall.
What would you say is the dumbest thing you've ever done?
Probably when I put my finger in an electric pencil sharpener in first grade. It didn't go, super well.
What did you think was gonna happen?
I guess I thought I would trim my fingernail.
In his room, Henry assembles a vase. At school, he and Grace dance playfully in a dimly lit hallway.
I used to be good at socializing. I mean, I used to do it all the time.
What changed?
I guess I stopped seeing the point. Sometimes it's just easier to slip into your own dark abyss and forget the world exists.
Yeah, I see her in you sometimes, like these flashes of this girl that you used to be. But was she an act and you're more yourself now? Or is the Grace that I know an act until you feel comfortable being yourself again?
I don't know. People change. There's no way you're the same person you were when you were 14.
The sun shines through tree branches as leaves blow in the wind. Henry parks Grace's car outside his house and they get out.
What?
All right, so Heslin is having his annual Halloween party tomorrow night. And Debbie, this doesn't have to be like a big thing. Like, doesn't have to be like a date or
no,
whatever.
No, that's not why.
I think
that's
it could
why.
Maybe be just fun. It'd be good to, good for you, kind of get back to doing old Grace things.
Oh, is the new Grace not good enough for you, or?
No, that's not what I meant. No, I think,
Hey. Let's go.
He smiles.
Yeah.
He walks around the back of the car. He hands over the keys.
The keys?
Can I come in?
You don't have to go somewhere?
No, I'm not going to where I go today, so.
Okay, yeah, no, totally.
Yeah,
come in.
They go to the house. Inside, Henry's parents and Suds play cards at the dining table.
I'll take three.
You get three first, you.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Henry.
What's up? Hey.
Join us, bud.
I can't right now, but this is Grace.
They stare at her, and Suds sits up in her chair.
Hi.
Hi. It's Grace.
Yeah.
Yeah, you actually came in. We've only seen your car up until now.
We go to Henry's room. He picks up clothes from the floor as Grace looks around.
Just gonna pick up this stuff here.
She examines his desk. Henry makes his bed. Grace paces across the room. Henry plays music on his phone. Grace studies a broken vase.
How did this break?
I broke that, actually. It's called kintsugi. It's kind of this old school Japanese art form where you mend that broken pottery with seams of gold.
She sits on his bed and sets her cane aside. Henry sits next to her. He glances at her, then gazes off. She slides closer to him. Staring at him, she strokes the back of his neck with her fingers. She slowly leans in and starts to kiss him.
Wait, is this?
Oh, it's a song that you like to play in your car.
Looking unsettled, she stands and grabs her cane.
Are you okay?
Why are you playing this?
I don't know, I like it. Kind of reminds me of us, I guess.
Grace leaves the room. Downstairs, Henry's parents watch her walk out of the house. Henry rushes after her. Outside, he catches up to her in the front yard.
Hey, Grace. I'm sorry I played that. I didn't know. I don't know. We just listen to it all the time in the car together, and
okay,
I thought
that
you liked it.
Okay, but it's not our song, okay? Okay? It's not for you and me.
Okay, who's it for? What is it?
Dom. He was my boyfriend. He was driving the car, and I fucked up my knee, but he used to go.
I'm sorry, I didn't. No, I understand if you don't want to, like, you know, if you don't want to do anything with me.
She kisses him passionately. She walks away, and Henry jogs after her.
Please,
please,
please
stop, Henry.
Please. Because I'm fucked up,
come on,
okay?
What's wrong? Can I drive you home?
Yes. No, please, please.
Please, come on.
No, I'm messed up, Henry.
That's
I'm messed
okay.
up. No, I'm not. It's not when you realize that I'm not one of your fucking bosses, okay?
Henry lingers behind as she walks off. Out of darkness, blotches of color appear. In his room, Henry glumly stares at a partially reassembled vase on his desk. In the newspaper room, Henry indicates a headline on a page layout. School lunch. Not a fan, never have been.
You guys think this needs to be here?
No.
You're right. I mean, I don't feel like we needed it anymore. It doesn't make sense.
Seriously?
Hey, guys, are you going to Eslin's tonight?
Yeah. Maybe. We might come through.
Cool. Well, I hope you do.
Cora wheels her chair away.
What time is Alex picking us up?
I do not know. I'm not going.
No? So. No. No, we're going. A little beautiful creature who might be a part of the fairy kingdom like myself just invited me to her magical enchanted forest. And I'm gonna take this opportunity to fly.
Ma'am.
Met yourself. Don't dip out because of that chick. I need you there for moral support.
No, it's not because of her. I'm not feeling well.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Elk says kush.
What kind of kush?
At a party, Henry smokes out of a gas pipe. He wears dark makeup around his eyes. Muzz approaches wearing a long wig and a dress.
Take it easy, bro. Easy in, easy out. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, I know.
Law approaches.
Hey, what's up?
She's already talking to someone else.
They look at Cora.
Man, I knew I shouldn't have gotten my hopes up. Man, she's just playing me.
Go. Go.
I want to ease into it, bro.
Why?
Henry Page.
A girl pulls Henry away.
Bye, Henry.
In the kitchen.
I'm sprinting in as he has a river space and he just pukes everywhere. No one knew what to do. And it was like between this tiny little crevice between the wall and the fridge.
I'm just gonna get some water.
What?
I'm just gonna get some water. So,
are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
He goes to the sink and sips water from the faucet. Looking out the window, he spots Grace standing outside in the blue cape with her hair down. She waves at him and he waves back. He carries two cups to the backyard. Slowly pacing through the crowd, he approaches Grace. She takes off her cape, revealing a dark corset and skirt underneath. She smiles at Henry and he gives her one of the cups.
Got you this.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What?
You look,
thotty?
I was gonna say hot.
She smiles.
Well, it's my costume from last year.
You doing okay?
She nods.
Yeah, in this moment, I'm okay.
I think you're the most confusing human being I've ever met.
And I think I'm just the most confused human being you've ever met, and that confuses you.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty trash right now, so I guess I'm even more confused.
She smiles and sips from her cup. Inside, Cora notices Law sitting alone.
Hey, I've been looking for you.
Oh, yes?
Yeah. So last year,
I get it. It was weird. We can just be friends.
Cool. Cora starts to leave, then steps closer.
I hooked up with a lot of girls last summer.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just really confused after we... You know. I don't know. I tried to figure that out, I guess. But I realized that I didn't feel anything for any of them. I don't necessarily know how to label myself, but I know what I feel when you're in front of me. It's like we are, we be.
Then let's just be.
Law stares at her. Cora steps closer and they kiss. Cora wears a surprised look, then kisses Law passionately. In the main room, Grace leads Henry by the hand into a crowd of dancing teens. Goes to the bed and sits. She slides off the stocking on her right leg. As she takes off her left stocking, she glances at Henry. He kneels in front of her. He runs his hand up her left leg. He feels the scars on her knee.
I hope you don't have high expectations. So I'm probably pretty rusty.
I hope you don't have high expectations either, because I've never done this before.
She strokes his hair.
Get a condom.
I should get it.
Get it.
He walks away. She stands and removes her corset. Henry takes a condom from a dresser drawer, then looks at Grace. He pulls off his shirt. She lies on the bed. Henry joins her under the covers and lies on top of her. He tries to open the condom wrapper with his teeth.
Oh, God. Let me do it.
Okay. Sorry. I'm nervous.
Do you want me to do it?
Yeah. Sure.
She reaches down. He throws against her. She turns off the bedside lamp. Daytime. In Henry's room, Grace sleeps with her head on his chest. Her eyes open and she glances around. Her face clenches with tears. Waking, Henry remains still. Later, Henry sits on his porch, gazing at the swaying trees. He paces as he makes a phone call.
Leave your message. Hey, Grace. I just want to say hi. Despite my lack of experience, hope that last night just kind of meant a tiny fraction to you as it meant to me. And yeah, and then also I promise, like, if we ever get the chance to do it again, because not that I'm not presumptuous enough to think that we will, but like if we do, then I promise that it'll be better. I'll be better. Practice does make perfect. So bye bye.
He hangs up. Nighttime. In Henry's room, the partially reassembled vase stands on his desk. He lies awake in bed. He looks at his nightstand where the book lies open to the Neruda poem. Turning away, he covers his face with his arm. He checks his phone. Text messages read, "Can't remember the last time someone left me a voicemail." It was super awkward. A typing bubble appears. More messages read, "Kidding. It was sweet. Meet me outside your house tomorrow at noon." Henry sends 4 thumbs up emojis and 3 hearts. He sets down his phone and lies back. Daytime. Henry waits on his porch as Grace drives up.
What?
Surprise!
How did this happen?
It was just time.
Shit. All right. Where are we going?
You'll see.
Smiling awkwardly, she smooths her hair. Now, Grace drives with Henry along a tree-lined road. Bridge looms in the distance. Near the foot of the bridge, Grace stops on the side of the road. She gets out of the car. Near the water, she stares at a makeshift memorial featuring a wooden cross and her boyfriend Dominic's photo. Henry steps to her side.
We used to come here all the time before he died. I loved this drive. I want to be able to love it again. I needed you here. I needed your support.
She looks at Henry, then back at the memorial. She grabs her necklace, then hands her cane to Henry.
Hold this.
He reads an engraving along the gold ring on its chain. It matches the words scratched into the factory wall.
Is this from the factory? What does it mean?
Save me and I will save you. That was us.
She shakes her head and gazes at the memorial. She takes back the necklace and hangs it on the wooden cross with Dominic's photo. She turns back to Henry and touches his face.
I want to move on.
They kiss. Thank you. In the school cafeteria, Henry sits with his friends.
Cross his glasses right into the toilet. He nearly flushed them down there. Well, he fished them out and he got the same glasses on.
Cree smiles as she approaches.
No, I swear.
Muzz stares at her.
Can I join you guys?
Later in the library, Grace and Henry kiss at a table.
Got it?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
It's good to print your first issue. Congratulations.
In the newspaper room, they view the newly printed issue. Later, in an empty hallway, Grace leans against lockers as Henry kisses her. Now they walk together through the neighborhood. Pausing, Grace wears a troubled look. She spots a red sports car parked in her driveway.
Whose car is that?
Stay here, Henry.
She heads toward the house. Later, Henry sits by the cars and writes in his journal. A middle-aged blonde woman dashes out of the house. She looks at Henry, then gets in the red car. She knocks over a garbage can as she backs out of the driveway. She zooms away and Grace steps out of the house.
Hey.
Henry approaches her.
Is that your mom?
No. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Are you all right?
I'm fine. Can we go?
Later, Grace drives Henry in her car. He glances at her as she stares out the windshield. She parks in front of Henry's house.
So do you live with your dad? I just feel like I don't know anything about your family.
Well, yeah, okay, you know enough.
But something obviously just happened, so I don't know, like, how I'm supposed to help you.
You don't help me. I didn't ask for your help, so stop trying to help me. Stop trying to fix me, all right?
She gives him an annoyed look, then stares ahead. Henry gets out of the car and trudges to his house. Now, in a newspaper meeting, he glumly types on his phone.
Oh, look at this. It's a lollygagging convention in here. Let's go, people. We have three more issues to plan. I'd love to see a little focus, please. Henry, where's your partner in crime?
I don't know.
She sick?
I don't know.
Today's the anniversary of her accident.
Oh, dear. I didn't know that.
Yeah. East River had a candlelight vigil for her boyfriend.
On the school bus, Henry makes a call. Ma and Muzz sit behind him.
You're probably right about that.
Leave your message.
Henry hangs up. He glances around, then stares off with a thoughtful look.
What? Stop it.
He dashes out of his seat.
Anchored. No, where are you going?
Anchored.
Henry runs through the rain to Grace's house. Stops at the front door and uses the knocker. The balding man opens the door.
Henry? That you?
Yeah.
Come on in.
Henry goes inside.
He must have fallen asleep in front of the tube. I'm Martin, by the way.
He leads Henry to a den and points to a woman sitting at a desk.
This is my wife, Sarah.
Hi.
Hello.
Martin sits on the sofa.
Grace has talked a lot about you. Says you've been a good friend. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that she was okay, because I didn't talk to her today. And, you know, given what day it is, I...
Well, she should be home pretty soon. You can wait upstairs if you want.
Thank you. It's good meeting you guys.
Yeah, nice meeting you, Henry.
Yeah.
Henry goes upstairs. The walls bear dark outlines from removed picture frames. Henry enters a bedroom. On a bulletin board, he spots a drawing of a heart with an arrow through it. A banner around the heart reads, "Serva me, serva bote." A cutout picture of a sports car hangs on a wall. On the headboard, a framed photo of Grace and Dominic stands in front of sports trophies. More photos of them hang on a wall beside medals. Henry slowly approaches an open closet. Men's shirts hang inside.
So now you know.
Grace enters the room.
Do you live here?
Yeah. I moved in a month before the accident to get away from my mom. She was drinking a lot, and she was in really bad shape.
But you're still here.
Where else was I supposed to go? My mom's boyfriend's couch.
Henry notices Grace's necklace in her hands.
You went back for that?
She sets it on a desk. Henry shakes his head and eyes the shirts hanging in the closet.
I mean, do you even wash his clothes? Because you wear his clothes, right?
I'm doing the best that I can.
Well, you're doing the best you can, but you're living in his fucking room?
We grew up together. He was my family.
I'm not asking you to let him go.
I'm giving you all that I can. And this confusion and this craziness is what that looks like, and you can't handle it, but I never expected you to. What else could I possibly give you?
What else can you give me? Are you fucking... Oh, this is crazy. This is crazy.
Just stop.
No, you stop. Stop leaning me on. I mean, I didn't start dating you out of nowhere or something.
I told you to leave me alone.
Yeah, but then you told me not to.
Because I don't know.
Well,
I don't know. I'm confused, Henry. I don't know.
I know. I've known since, like, the very beginning that I love you.
I can't pretend to be better because that's what you want.
You said you wanted to.
I do. I'm not ready.
No.
I do, but I'm not ready.
I don't care. No, I don't care. Seriously, I want you exactly the way you are. But you just gotta let me in and talk to me. I love you.
With tears streaming down his cheeks, he kisses her. Grace lowers her eyes.
Why do you kiss me like that?
Like what?
She meets his gaze.
Like you're in love with me.
It's the only way I know how.
Henry looks at the framed photo of Grace and Dominic on the headboard. He turns back to Grace, and she hangs her head. Henry walks away. At night, he walks through the neighborhood in the middle of the street. At their house, Henry's parents sit in the living room as their son arrives home.
Plates for you in the oven, Toots.
Henry?
What?
We follow him to the stairs.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
Come on.
We just want to know what's going on. Is it Grace?
It's just regular shit that regular people go through that you are not going to understand.
Oh, come on. We're not regular people.
Henry glares at his parents.
No. No. Are you fucking kidding me? Your relationship's been perfect since you were like my age.
He rushes upstairs.
I got this.
No. We should go.
Mom, he's right. You don't understand. I got it.
Suds follows Henry to his room and shuts the door behind her.
Did you guys break up?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if we were actually together.
Well, maybe it's just a bump in the road.
Well, she doesn't want me.
What happened?
She's in love with someone else.
Oh, shit.
She sits with him on the bed and takes his hand.
Okay. You want the good news or the bad news?
Neither.
Well, the bad news is it's gonna hurt. Your brain has gotten used to a steady stream of dopamine and oxytocin. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, but that's what causes all those blissed out feelings of love. And now it's replaced with stress hormones. They're gonna make you feel like garbage. Headaches, tight muscles, tight chest. Your body's craving those feel-good chemicals.
She leans closer.
It's basically withdrawal.
She gently rubs Henry's arm.
Yesterday was the first day I didn't think about him. And tomorrow, I'm going on my first date.
She wipes Henry's tear.
Henry.
Mm.
Love. It's a chemical reaction that comes and goes. Here's the good news. So is heartbreak. Your brain adjusts. Your body chemistry changes back to normal.
It's all a waste of time.
Oh, no. Hey. Would you take it all back if you could?
He wears a thoughtful look and she shakes her head.
You can't. She's a part of you now.
Later, Henry walks outside. He holds a piece of paper and a water bottle full of dark liquid. He swigs from the bottle as he goes. He staggers into the graveyard and reaches Dominic's headstone. He sits cross-legged on the grave. Using a lighter, he sets the paper on fire. In the pale light, the torn page shows the Neruda poem from Grace's book. Henry drops it on the ground. Gazes at the stars. Daytime. In the cafeteria, Law and Cora sit together. Henry watches them with a glum expression.
I actually have a real question. Wait, what's over there?
I did it.
Henry stands.
Where are you going?
I don't know. Just don't want to watch this.
He leaves.
Wow. You just can't be happy for anybody else. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
In the newspaper room, Henry adjusts the layout for the next issue. He checks his phone. A message from an unknown number reads, "It's Dom's dad. Grace missing all day." Henry stands and reads the next message. "We checked all her usual spots." Henry grabs his jacket as another message arrives. "Any ideas?" He rushes out of the room. Outside, he runs into the school's driveway. A car stops to avoid him, and Henry quickens his pace. In the woods, he races across the misty ground. He sprints through the locked gate and into the mill. Inside, he hurries to the pool of water. Grace stands in the pool wearing a white dress and a crown of flowers.
Are you okay? Are you
okay? I need to tell you.
What?
I need to tell you. What? I need to say it, Dom. I need to say it. I need to say it, Dom. It should have been me. 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 Yes, you fucking asshole. It was my fault. Yes, it was. You told me to stop teasing you. You told me, and I didn't listen. I didn't listen. I just wanted to make you laugh, and you told me to stop. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
They hug each other tightly. Grace steps back and gazes into Henry's eyes. She hangs her head.
I felt him swerve. And I knew in that fraction of a second that we were gonna crash. And my last thought before it happened was shit. The last thought I was about to have in my entire life was shit. I didn't think about Tom. I didn't think about him. Does that make me a bad person, Henry?
No. Makes you a person.
I wonder what he was thinking about. I wonder what his last thought was.
I was thinking about you, Grace. Can't you?
She smiles sadly and rests her head on Henry's shoulder. She wraps her arms around him. Later, Grace picks up photos of herself with Dominic. She carries them to the water's edge. As it sinks, she takes off her white dress. looks away. She stands in her underwear, facing away from Henry. She wades back to the water's edge.
I was gonna marry him in that dress.
She uses her cane to step out of the pool. Henry takes off his jacket and drapes it around her shoulders. He guides Grace away. In the passenger seat. She looks toward the house, then starts to remove Henry's jacket.
No, you keep it. It's cold out.
She stares at him. She glances at the house, then removes her seatbelt. She gets out of the car. Three people step out of the house as Grace approaches. Henry watches Grace's mom hug her. Dominic's mother joins the hug, and his father shares a wave with Henry. The group returns to the house. Daytime. In the newspaper room, Henry works at his laptop.
Quick announcement, everyone. If I might have everyone's attention for a moment, please. Thank you. So, I wanted to let you know that Gracetown has decided to take some time off from school to deal with some personal issues. And when she returns, she'd prefer to focus on her studies rather than the newspaper. I'm sure we'll all miss her very much, but it does sound like this is the best decision for her at this time. I know this news might come as a disappointment to all of you, but I want you to know that I have the utmost faith in this group of people.
Henry turns away and rests his chin in his hands. Out of darkness, blotches of color appear.
When you're a teenager, the chemicals in your brain drive you to make decisions that rip you away from the safety of your childhood and drag you into the wilderness of adulthood. A friend once told me that adults are just scarred kids who were lucky enough to make it out of teenage limbo alive. I urge you to go outside and look at the world through that prism. Look at your parents, your older siblings. Look at strangers you pass on the street. Look at them and imagine that at one point in their lives, they too walked these halls. They too felt the unbearable loneliness. The absolute unbearable powerlessness and darkness of being young.
Number two. Oh! This is three.
We tend to think of scars as ugly or imperfect.
In the hallway, Henry spots Grace at her locker and walks past.
As things we want to hide or forget.
Later, he spots her again, then walks in the other direction. In his room, he works on the vase.
But they never go away.
He places a final shard, then types on his laptop in the dark.
As I write this, my last editorial, and my last issue, released on my last day of high school, I finally understand that scars are not reminders of what's been broken, but rather, of what's been created.
At school, students read the newspaper. A crowd floods into the hallway. Henry walks among the smiling, hugging teenagers. Grace approaches from the other end of the hall. She no longer wears Dominic's clothes. She smiles as she steps close to Henry.
Great.
We step aside as students pass.
Congratulations.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Where are you off to next year?
I'm gonna go to Bennington. It's like this school in Vermont. It's good for writing.
Nice.
So, yeah. What are you doing?
I'm taking a year off. Continuing therapy. Yeah, I was never gonna be ready until I was ready, you know? Of course you know.
Yeah.
I have to go find my words again.
Yeah. You will.
Grace smiles and nods.
I just want to say...
She moves closer and gazes into Henry's eyes.
You are an extraordinary collection of atoms, Henry Page.
He stares at her. She kisses his cheek. She wraps her arms around him. Henry hugs her tightly. Grace slips a folded piece of paper into his jacket pocket. She walks away. She glances back at Henry, and he gives her a tight-lipped smile. She walks around a corner and out of view. Henry finds the paper in his pocket. Opening it, he discovers the burned page of poetry. Thick, dark lines run along the seams of the repaired page. Later, Henry walks outside.
Is that anchored?
Anchored!
Let's go!
I think I'm gonna walk.
You're gonna walk?
Hey, I'm gonna walk too.
Henry's friends leave the bus and run to catch up with him.
Long walk.
Want some company?
Yeah, I do.
Smiling, Henry puts his arms around Law and Muzz. He presses his forehead to Law's as they walk off. Directed by Richard Tan. Screenplay by Richard Tan. Based on the book Our Chemical Hearts by Crystal Sutherland. Produced by Alex Sachs, PGA. Richard Tan, PGA. Executive producers Jonathan O'Brien, Lily Reinhardt, Crystal Sutherland. Director of photography Albert Salas. Production designer Lucio Seixas. Edited by JC Bond. Costume designer Vanessa Porter. Music by Stephen James Taylor. Casting by Lauren Bass and Jordan Bass, CSA. Lily Reinhardt, Austin Abrams, Sarah Jones, Adir Kalyan, Bruce Altman, Kara Young, CJ Hoff, Robert Cloese, Meg Gibson, Catherine Curtin. Amazon Studios presentation. A Page 54 Pictures production. In association with Awesomeness Films. A film by Richard Tan. Chemical Hearts. Produced in association with Big Indie Pictures. Unit Production Manager, Jamin O'Brien. First Assistant Director, Don Julian. Second Assistant Director, Alice Johnson. Cast, Lily Reinhart as Grace Town. Austin Abrams as Henry Page. Sarah Jones as Sadie Suds Page. Adhir Kalyan as Kem Sharma. Bruce Altman as Toby Page. Kara Young as Lola Law Haynes. CJ Hoff as Mark Muzz Patterson. Robert Croisi as Martin Sawyer. Meg Gibson as Gloria Page. Katherine Curtin as Sarah Sawyer. Coral Pena as Cora Hernandez. Shannon Walsh as Miranda Malone. John Lemon as Dominic Sawyer. J.J. Pyle as Mabel Town. Lan Zong as Jade Tipton. Take Care, performed by Beach House. Near Mint, performed by Holy Fuck. 17, performed by Sharon Van Etten. Heart Skipped a Beat, performed by The XX. Feel the Lightning, performed by Dan Deacon. Where's My Love Acoustic, performed by SYML. Die For You, performed by Perfume Genius. Piece of Your Heart, Alok Remix, performed by Medusa, featuring Good Boys. Vulnerable, Flotilla Remix, performed by Tinashe. A Great Design, performed by Black Marble. We Stayed Up All Night, performed by Tourist featuring Arden. Copyright 2020 Amazon Content Services, LLC. All rights reserved. The story, characters, and events depicted in this motion picture are fictitious. Any similarity to places, buildings, actual persons living or dead, or to actual events is purely coincidental. Ownership of this motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and all other countries throughout the world. All rights reserved. Any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this film or any part thereof, including soundtrack, is an infringement of the relevant copyright and will subject the infringer to severe civil and criminal penalties. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from Amazon Studios, read by Brianna Leone. For more information about motion picture access, visit access.wgbh.org. Logos, Big Indie, Amazon Studios.